Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, as we are back with real proper hockey. Today's episode, always as always, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. I am your host, Rudo3, joined as always by AJ Haefeli as well. And it's back, ladies and gentlemen. There were a real-life hockey team on real-life ice today in the Pepsi Center. AJ was there. He got to see it with his own two eyes, even.
My peepers.
Yep, he saw it. He saw it himself. And that's a victory in and of itself, is it not?
It is. It was a lot of victories today.
Yeah. That's what you like to hear, as the Avs have taken their first step towards returning to an actual hockey game in less than 3 weeks. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious, but it all started for reals today. And I got to say, first of all, the Avs are in a very, very good position. One, no positive COVID tests. Two, no players opting out. So the Avs essentially have their full roster at their disposal right now. And there's a bunch of teams that don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
As the NHL did release a statement as well, that of about 5,000 tests, I believe that it was 30 players that tested positive. Excuse me, I'm not 100% sure on the numbers. I'll have to look it up.
Just disappointing.
Yeah, pretty not great numbers. We'll put it that way.
But yeah. I mean, given the numbers overall, I think it was 4,900 tests, and 30 positives.
Correct. 4,900 tests, 30 positives, as well as 13 players that were not participating in phase two.
Okay.
So 43 positive players, but a handful of them were not directly related to NHL goings on. In any case, so. I guess
this is part of it, right? Like, yeah. getting to the hubs has always been like the last hurdle before we start to really believe this is going to happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, this was always going to be like the last, like, really big challenge, but also the biggest of all the big challenges.
Yep.
Was getting players healthy and getting rosters healthy. I know Pittsburgh held out like 9 guys today because a friend of a friend of a friend who knew someone whose mailman tested positive, where it was like
they went full Kevin Bacon on it. Like, ain't nobody gonna get anybody else.
Purely just let's play this safe. Yep. And like smart to do it, all about it. Take care of what you gotta take care of while you can. Don't let any of that get up on you. I'm still encouraged by the process. Obviously, like the focus today was, hey, it's a healthy AV squad. None of them opted out. None of them have tested positive. So for right now, everything is still full bore for the AVs. So from our perspective, everything is still feeling good. Good vibes all around at the rink today. Was a little over my mask about 2 hours in, but
yeah.
Luckily, was not sitting around tons of people, so it wasn't like I was too self-conscious about it. It was, I don't know if anybody out there that's wearing glasses, you know the struggle and what it's like because they fog up. And I felt like I was just like constantly like I need like little glasses, like windshield wipers that I can just turn on a little because, oh, what a pain in the ass.
WeatherTech $1 million idea right there.
Yeah, straight up. Windshield wipers on my glasses, please. Next time Google wants to get into the glasses business, let's try that first there instead of whatever that Google Glass nonsense was. It was awesome being back at the rink, man. It is. It sucks, dude. The struggle is real. It sucks. I was so frustrated. Like, there was even one point during in between the sessions, I just took my glasses off because I was like, F this.
Don't need to be seeing right now. So
yeah, I was like, I don't have anything to see. It's fine. And then trying to figure out the groups and lines and all that was a lot easier in the afternoon session because I have all the guys who weren't in morning session were in session two.
I wonder who these people could be.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like once I figured out the first couple of lines, it was like, okay, this is very simple.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean,
great time though. I mean, it was awesome to see everybody back out on the ice.
Yeah, certainly seemed like they didn't waste much time jumping in. We saw some 2v2 drills going on the ice after everything was said and done. Bednar said he was very happy with the pace and effort put in on day one. So
I gotta tell you, I've watched all of Bednar's training camps as a head coach. And for a day one, this was significantly more intense.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you would expect. Like, this is not September where they've got 9 months to go, you know, and like the grind begins. Like, this is day one of a sprint.
Yeah. They're in the starting blocks right now.
Right. And they needed to come in with a certain attitude, and they did that today. And you can even see as things were getting going, competitiveness picked up a little bit. I didn't tweet about it, but there was one particular altercation where Eric Johnson tripped Nazem Kadri and Kadri threw his hands up like he was like looking around for a call, and it was like, you know, there are no refs here, right? And was very frustrated and slammed a stick on the ice after the drill was over, and EJ came over and gave him the love tap, and Kadri did not return it.
So, none of that.
A little bit of feistiness on day one. It was good to see some competitive dudes out there, but nothing ridiculous, of course. Zadorov, I don't remember who it was, but Nikita Zadorov erased somebody. Not like blew him up or anything. Just he tried to step up on and make a play on the puck, and Zadorov just didn't move, and the guy just ran into him, and it was like, well.
Zadorov is a large human. It is true.
It was pretty funny. But it was good overall, man. It was a very competitive atmosphere. Certainly more intense than a regular training camp. It's good stuff.
All right. So let's do something a little bit different here, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
For today's training camp, who were your Strava Craft Coffee game-changing performers of day one in training camp?
Boy, this is almost like hot takery just because we're talking about,
right. It's a 1 30 minute session.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go with Connor Timmins, Eric Johnson, and Adam Werner.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Gotta like that right there.
Yeah.
Werner's
all over the
Really?
Once I figured out who he was.
That always helps. That always helps.
The goalies were really tough because I was like, I don't know who these guys are. You're far away. And so when you're at the practice facility and you're 20 feet away, you can really tell the difference in size. But when you're really,
you're like up looking down on them.
Yeah. And when you're 100 yards away, you're kind of like, size isn't really a thing. And now they have two goalies who catch right handed. So, like, that old Pavel Francouz cheap trick is gone.
None of them have the like old pads from wherever they used to play anymore.
Yeah, either. like Adam Werner. Remember the first time Adam Werner ever came to camp? Yeah. He had the green ones.
Yep.
And yeah, those are gone. So it took me a few minutes to figure out who the goalies were, but once I did, not the greatest day for Michael Hutchinson. I don't like getting too negative on guys for training camp stuff. I like to focus on the positives, guys who stood out in a positive way, because anytime you get negative about a guy, it feels like you're dumping on him for a bad day at the office, and it's just like, bleh. So, those would be my three. EJ looked really, really good. Connor Timmins had a very good day, in my opinion.
Speaking of both, EJ himself on Connor Timmins kind of professed that he's got a really big future ahead of him in the post practice interviews. So it's the hype train is maybe starting to roll out of the station a little bit here.
So just for some Eric Johnson might be the world's biggest believer in Connor Timmins that does not also share the Timmins last name. There was that preseason game 2 years ago, right after Timmins got drafted. Because you remember that preseason, he hung around till the very end. And there was a game where he played, and he was EJ's partner for a lot of the game.
Yep.
And after the game, we walked in, and I walked in to talk to Timmins, whose locker was next to EJ's. And EJ was already done. He was ready. Veteran move. He's out of there.
Yep.
And as he was walking out, he said, "That's the best player on our team tonight." So not Eric Johnson loving Connor Timmins is like, oh, the sky is blue. Like, it's just another day. He's a big Connor Timmins fan, but I could understand I thought Connor Timmins looked real good. So we're pretty confident that they've got their set six going in, but the battle for pecking order beyond that, because you know, somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. You're going to need depth more than ever. Connor Timmins, good day one, man.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. Good day one. Eric Johnson had a good day one, too. He looked – Eric, I didn't say anything about it. Ian Cole looked like he was 25 today.
4 months off sometimes will do that.
He was just – He had so much pep in his step. I don't know if it was just like excitement or what the deal was, but it just looked so solid, just so like amped up and ready to go.
All right. Well, those are your StravaCraft Coffee game-changing performers from day number one. You can get your StravaCraft Coffee online and get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 at checkout. The CBD is non-psychoactive and has really changed lives, helping people with many aches and pains everywhere and all over the place. We also have our favorite Breckenridge Brewery. Pop one open because hockey season is back, ladies and gentlemen. An Avalanche Amber sounds just about right to me. Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it from your local Davidson's, your liquor store. You can head on down to the farmhouse down in Littleton and get $5 off when you use code DNVR for pickup. They got you covered with all of the Breckenridge brew you could possibly imagine, any kind that you want. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. All right. So we've gone high level here. We've talked about some of the players that had the best days. We've talked about just the excitement around hockey being back on the ice in general. But the reality is, and let me preface this by saying again, it's day one. There has been one session of this training camp so far.
Yeah. We're expecting travel is on the 26th.
Correct.
So that's 13 days. We're expecting two-ish weeks of training camp.
Yep.
We don't really know what the schedule is beyond the 4 days that they scheduled for this week. So we're not totally sure what we're looking at, but we are expecting them to continue this on into next week at some point. So yes, it is important for you to start off this conversation by saying we are 1 day in.
And on top of that, Jared Bednar himself, no definitive decisions about starting lineups have been made yet.
No, and there really shouldn't be. They've got to figure out, you know, they've got to get through this healthy, number one, because that could make decisions for them right off the top.
Yep.
Number two, they've got five guys that you could probably call middle six guys,
mm-hmm.
where you've got to kind of sort them out and figure out which roles you want them in and which combination looks best. So day one, this is their first look. I don't think that these lines will stay. I think that they will bounce them around a little bit to give guys different looks. And that includes Tyson Jost, who was on the fifth line today.
Yep, Tyson Jost on the fifth. Bednar himself talked about it a little bit. With Val Nichushkin on the second line, we do have a clip here for you. So let's play that and get Bednar's thoughts on Nichushkin starting training camp on the second line here.
We're going to play around with that a little bit here in training camp. I want to make sure I have options that are producing on the offensive side of things, and also options that we can use that can check and defend other teams' top players. You know, it's a role that Kadri's been in the past. Come playoff time, regular season, we use him there a little bit this year. To defend some top lines. Nichushkin has had a very good year when it comes to, you know, chance suppression, while being able to, you know, have a pretty good year on the offensive side of it as well. And I just think looking at that line, Burakovsky's had a really good year for us when he's been healthy. And I wanted to give him a look here early in camp. We're going to have some scrimmages in training camp. We'll test some matchups both in the scrimmages and in exhibition and in the round robin. And, you know, things may be pretty fluid in there, but we'll just see how they go. You know, I want to explore some options so I know what some of the best case scenarios are going into the playoffs.
So there you go. Nothing super solid from Bednar there on making a decision. Nonetheless, does Nichushkin being the first to get a crack at that spot mean he has the inside line to a top six spot?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
They've got again 2 weeks of this. They're going to take different looks. If somebody's, let's say nobody clicks and none of the other things work out, and this is what they default to, okay. But I don't think that means that anybody has an inside track on anything. I think that this is just the beginning of them taking a look at the healthiest lineup they've had all year. You know, when they went and got Namestnikov at the deadline, they weren't healthy. They needed that body. And now with them coming back, they're one guy too heavy, I guess you could say. With Wilson not taking part in this, they are one. They're plus one basically.
There's one
on NHL regular.
Yeah, right.
So they're gonna have to decide. They're gonna have to figure out. And because they were still so injured after the deadline, Namestnikov played up in the lineup to the point where that wasn't a realistic look at what he's going to give the team in the postseason. He's not going to play next to Landeskog and MacKinnon on a regular basis. You know, barring something bad happening,
or people going down, right?
Like it would you have to recreate those injuries to get back to that. So they don't know what their optimal lineup looks like with Namestnikov and with them being healthy.
Yep.
So I don't think that there's an inside track. I think that it's just this is where they are for right now. Like this is where they started. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Like. The same way that I don't think Nichushkin is on the inside track for the second line, I don't think Tyson Jost is necessarily the odd man out right now. as the 13th forward. So this is just where they started. We've got a couple weeks of this, plus an exhibition game, plus three round robin games. The first round of the postseason is really what matters here, right? That's what all of this is building towards. Round robin games are great and they matter, but ultimately their season won't end even if they lose all three of those. So this is all building towards having a lineup that they want, that they're comfortable with, that they are going to attack with on game one of the first round. And we're a month away from that.
And I mean, let's be honest. First of all, there's two exhibition games the Avs will get before even the play, the round robin round.
It's two?
Two.
Okay.
Yep. Two between
We have five games to go here, guys.
Right. Realistically, the worst the Avs can do is still have home ice advantage in the first round. So, exactly.
But I mean, get to use the home locker room against the Oilers, who are going to be very displaced.
I mean, irrelevant of that, they will be the higher seed no matter what in round one.
Correct.
So, the teams that did make that have a little bit more leeway to potentially experiment with those first handful of games that the other teams will not have. And
yeah, definitely.
I do fully expect the Avs to use that completely. As Bednar basically said, particularly, and we can get into this in a little bit, but about the goaltending situation, that they intend to use the entirety of this training camp to make their decisions about starting lineups.
They should. If they walked in today with their decisions kind of already, with their minds already made up on some of this, then what was the point?
Right.
Use this time. You know, because today, if you were making roster decisions after one day today, Bo Byram doesn't make it and TJ Tynan doesn't make it.
Yep.
They both had bad days.
Just the reality of trying to make decisions off of one day is
right. And like you're not gonna make that decision today. You've got plenty of time, but this is all building towards something.
Yep. And I mean I think that's a good point. Everyone in the league is trying to build up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to look around about what other teams think, what other teams look like too much, but everything out of the Avs camp is very, very positive. Everyone seems to be in good condition. Everyone was hardworking on the day. So now I'm sure, you know, you get into day three, four, and maybe some issues will start to crop up, but it's hard to start much better than what it sounds like the Avs have right now.
Yeah, all positive feels, right? Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's excited. Everybody understands that this is the beginning of a long process, longer process, not long.
Yep.
Given that 2 months from now, this will all be over. But, well, you know, a process. And there are no bad vibes coming out of camp today, out of the interviews. Which you sat in on. Thank you for doing that, by the way. Today rocked, man.
It was
great. Like, I will say, if we're talking about how things actually look today, analysis wise, that second line, Kadri looked really good. They cycled the puck really nicely in the couple of drills where they were working 2-on-2, 3-on-2. But when you're working with a man advantage, it's like, you know, it's not, there's not a ton to really draw from that.
You look real good because you got a ton of ice. Cool story.
Well, and like Nikita Zadorov was just dominating people in 2-on-2. And then it got to 3-on-2 and he was no longer playing man defense and he was having to cover space. And immediately we saw the struggles that he's always had flare up again, to the point where he got beat on the backside for a goal against, and he just put his head down and circled by himself. Nobody said anything to me. Nobody said anything to him. He just circled for probably 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Until he was good to go. It was his turn back up again in another drill. So this is, you know, it's the same stuff for him. Like 2-on-2, man on man, he looked great.
Yeah,
3-on-2, where he's having to cover space and not a player, he struggled more, and it's why you
making, yeah,
It's why you don't want to make like strong conclusions here. Like Byram was really good with the stick. He was really disruptive and active with it, but seemed a little overwhelmed by the speed at times and got lost occasionally defensively. But you're not playing full on 5-on-5. You don't have all the same coverages and you don't have guys rotating. It's you and another defender against a forward line.
Not yet, so anyway.
It's not, again, like, but I can tell you guys who I thought looked good and who looked bad, but this is all important context to keep in mind that they're, you know, defenders especially are set up to fail in a lot of these drills because they're playing against full lines or whatever. They're playing 1v3, 2v3 all the time.
Well, if you want to see who looked good, I have the Hockey Nerd Chills clip of the day here taken by AJ Haefeli himself. Mm. If you're not watching live or you're listening to the audio version, just head on over to AJ's Twitter or check out our article posted about everything of day one, and you can find the clip in there. But here is the boy wonder himself. His skating doesn't look like it has changed one little bit as he's going to pick up the puck coming in here and just make everyone look absolutely silly as he just powers around the outside. It's a bit ridiculous how explosive Cale Makar can be.
And what sucks is that there was a – I wasn't recording it at the time, but McKinnon flashed hard in that drill at times.
Yeah, I believe
that. And so can you pull that back up real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So basically what they're doing, just to explain kind of what's going on here.
We can just show like the full clip.
Yeah, that's fine. Basically what they're doing is they're playing defensemen against forwards 2v2. First team to score three wins, and first team to win two games, like wins. Forwards won the defensemen won the morning group, the first group, the forwards won the second group. Both of them were 2-1. Both of them were very, very close. But that's what they're doing, this like half ice thing here. And they have coaches in the corners. You can't see them, but there's coaches off to the right and off to the left with a stack of pucks. And so anytime a puck goes out of play, they just fire one back in to whichever team they want, really.
The blue lines are out of bounds, essentially.
Yeah, and so I recorded probably 10 minutes worth of this drill from both sessions because a lot of time they were at the other end of the ice with other drills, and it was just you couldn't really see anything.
Yep.
But that's what this is. So there was a lot of interesting 2-on-2. There was one video that I got where Zadorov and Connaughton were together, and they made some magic happen offensively. And then Byram jumps off the bench and snipes one immediately. And you're like, oh, okay. That's what he could do offensively. Yep. So that's a fun drill to watch because it's very fast. It's very, you have to make quick decisions.
There's some game situations happening there.
Yeah, it's a good time, but it's 2-on-2 and it's half ice and it's just, but it's a lot of fun. It's competitive too. They take it seriously.
Yep.
So they want to win. Fun to watch, man. Really, really enjoyed it. Go watch all those clips. I put them all up in the post. You can go watch a bunch. I think it's about 10 minutes of those. Each of those videos is around 2 minutes long because I think the Twitter video timer is 220. Yep. And like they give you like a big timer that starts counting down when you're recording so that you know. Ben, he asks, when you said the top line dominated, what did that look like? Honestly, it looked like them just doing whatever the hell they wanted, regardless of competition. They cycled the puck, they scored, they did creative things, they did high-end things. They looked like they were in midseason form. It's hard to get really excited when the top line does something great because you're just expecting greatness out of them all the time. But today, there was no disappointment. There was no letdown. Those guys all looked awesome.
Love to hear that. Let's be honest, and EJ talked about it a little bit. He said, you know, it's going to be fast. I think it's going to be good hockey for TV because
I think so too.
Teams are going to be playing quick and loose out there, and
yeah,
when you can throw out the three-headed monster in series that make just straight up come down to who can score more. Hard to bet against the Avs with that, man.
Well, when the regular season starts, it's as loosey-goosey as it gets because teams haven't nailed down their systems yet.
Right.
And it's why you see scoring drop as the year goes.
Yep.
It's why you see scoring consistently go down. It's because teams get more comfortable playing their systems. Defensively, they start to hone in on matchups more, because the first couple months of the season, you're trying to find identity, chemistry, all those things, right? And then once you start to identify those, okay, once you start to check boxes and start to figure things out and start to find the successful formula for your team, then it just becomes making it a habit.
Yep.
You know, becoming a routine for you to wake up and, okay, well, this is how we're going to do this. And you just do it over and over and over and over and over. When you have 3 months off, it's going to be very loosey goosey. And there's going to be 2 weeks of them trying to get back into it. And that won't be nearly enough time. I totally agree with him. It's going to be up tempo and it's going to be flashy. It's going to be flashy hockey. For the first like 2 weeks.
Yep.
After that, you know, they'll really start to tighten some screws as best they can. But it's not like this is going to look like the 80s or anything. It's just going to look like October.
It's going to be interesting, too, in those first series. The players are going to have to feel out how the refs are calling the game again.
Yeah, that's something that's we haven't really talked much about, but how they handle that could be big.
But we can take our second break right there, as it is time to acknowledge WGT Golf, the official gaming partner of us here at DNVR. The game is loved by more than 20 million players around the world, and we're pushing over 450 now in our DNVR communities, which you can download the game by going to dnvrgolf.com and search for DNVR2 to get into our clubhouse. We have competitions every single week where you can top the leaderboards and beat everyone here at DNVR, on occasion even win yourself some cool prizes. So jump on it, do it while you can, play a bunch of amazing courses and make AJ and I look silly in the digital golf realm because we struggle.
I was actually on track to be a top 15-ish finisher in the this last weekend.
Until you weren't.
Well, and then the very last hole, I hooked it went out of bounds, and it literally doubled my score. And I was like, all right.
So
I won't be winning anything this week.
Can be extremely punishing. But if you want the challenge, again, at dnvrgolf.com to download WGT Golf today. And, of course, we also have our Colorado Raptors, which we have been covering for a bit now here at the DNVR. And, obviously, some big things are going on with some of the best players in America coming to play here in Colorado. And Colton Strickler is on the beat covering all things American rugby with the DNVR Rugby Podcast. Of course, you can find his written rugby content right on the site. Be sure to follow the DNVR Rugby Twitter account as well. He'll even take you through 101 pod episodes to break down the basics of rugby if you need help with stuff like that. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's with Rudo and AJ. Man, AJ, I don't even know what to say at this point. I'm just so happy that I get to watch even a real practice in clips and bits is the best thing ever.
It was really nice being back, and obviously we were all of the media was scattered across
separated across about eight zones of the Pepsi.
Yeah, store. it was eight sections from end to end. We had the entire eastern side of the arena for media seating. And like there was actually nobody next to me because I was hanging out with I got seated with the TV stations. Yep. And those guys like get their footage in like 20 minutes and they're like, gotta go to Broncos. And I don't know if they have any Broncos to go to, but that's like normally what they do.
There's always something else to get footage of. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so they were gone. And so I was just like, just hanging out, right? Like feet up on the thing, like just recording with my phone. Like it was nice, man. And I was so worried it was going to be cold. Like I posted that selfie and you would have thought it was like the middle of winter because I was all bundled up.
I know you were toasty. It looked like,
well, it was perfect temperature because it was chilly in there, but like I had like long pants on and I was ready. Right. It was nice. It was really cool. It was very nice being back at the Pepsi Center. It was so cool to feel normal for a day, man.
Yeah.
After such a hard couple of months in which everything is unknown, you're riding the wave of the news, which is like constantly negative. And then, you know, everything that's been going on, it's been really emotionally trying for a lot of people. And I know for me, just I got to go back to work today and that felt great. I know that there's probably still a lot of people out there struggling and wish I could give you guys hugs and make it all better. Hopefully today helped on some level as a sports fan, knowing that we're one step closer to getting the bubble, getting playoff hockey back and getting to focus on the chase for the cup for a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely brightened my spirits. I'll put it that way. I hope it did for other people as well. And now we can sit here and you and I can breathe a little bit because we have actual hockey to talk about on this show. So
so let's talk about the Jills thing.
All right, that's where I was going next.
Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. He was the 13th forward today. He was on the fifth line. First of all, if you think that Tyson Jost is the 13th forward, he's not going to play in the postseason. He's going to play in the postseason. He will 100% play at some point. Whether or not he sticks, part of that's going to be up to him. But he will most definitely play, barring injury, of course, which I'm so sick of saying. But
after this season, true. You got to say
He will play. He's very much in that rotation. There are 13 clear-cut forwards for them, with Cam and Evan Tynan obviously looking like they're at the top of that pecking order. I don't want to come down too hard on guys after one day of camp, but if TJ Tynan is going to be third on their forward pecking order, you should have brought Martin Kaut. And like, I don't want to get into that can of worms because I'm like, it is what it is. They've made their decision based on the contract and I don't feel like we have to continue to hammer this home.
Yep.
But TJ Tynan can't be that high up on your depth chart.
Is there any implication to Shane Bowers potentially jumping him, or is that even really relevant at this point?
He would have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I think the guy that I expect needs to that I think should be in front of Tynan would be Logan O'Connor.
Definitely, that's a. Arguably the Avs' second best call up of the season behind Mark Kaut.
Definitely. And like Jost, Tynan won't beat out Jost. That won't happen. And I don't even think Tynan will beat out Kamenev. Kamenev is still right there in front of those guys. But TJ Tynan shouldn't be this high up on the order. And this is how you know training camp is back because we're talking about the 15th forward, baby. Yes!
Getting into the minutia.
Yeah, but no, it's that's where I think the battle needs to begin is for the forward spots immediately after Kamenev. And I think it should start with O'Connor. I think it really should be O'Connor, and then you can have your TJ Tynan, Sheldon Dreis conversation, whatever, Shane Bowers. But I would like to see it start there. JT Compher didn't have a great day either.
What's the conversation there? The reality is the M's are very likely to use 13 forwards, if not more. But
yeah,
who's on the rotation about? Tyson Jost? Matt Nieto? Can JT Compher find himself in that situation?
I think he would have to play his way down significantly to get there. The one thing Vlad Namestnikov is really provides you with a different kind of versatility in that he can play all three forward positions and has done so successfully in the NHL. And they don't have another guy that really has had his success. Like JT Compher like could be on his way to kind of having that, kind of career.
JT Compher becomes Vlad Namestnikov.
Like. Yeah, definitely. Namestnikov is what they've been trying to groom Compher to be the last couple of years.
Yep.
Namestnikov has spent his career being.
Yep.
So that gives them a different look if they want. When we talk about Nichushkin on the second line, I think we'll also see Donskoy get some burn up there. I could also see Namestnikov getting some burn up there. Yep. And if they want Namestnikov on that third line, they could give him a look at center. You could move some of these guys around. You could put Calvert on that line and Compher down on the fourth if you want to try and mix it up a little bit. I would be very hesitant to have Belmar's name etched in stone in the lineup. There are things he does well, and he's very well liked, and he's a great character guy.
I would
struggle if he is like a set and forget. We don't even have this conversation.
I think a big part of that is the Avs starting to work Tyson Jostin on the PK at the end of last season.
Well, and that's where the Nieto thing was interesting too, because, I think Jost showed acumen on the PK. The PK was successful with him out there. And I think that we've seen Jost play some of his best hockey as center. And I think that there should be a conversation. If Belmar struggles out of the gate, I think that there should be the Jost conversation there too. It's not just Nieto that I think that we should be having the Jost conversation with. I'm of the opinion it should also be Belmar.
YouTube says you burned the house down with that one, AJ.
I'm a little surprised at that reaction. But I just don't think that Belmar should be this like set and forget, like hard and fast. You got to play him.
I agree with you wholly. And this was part of why last summer I was so averse to the second year of Belmar anyway.
Yeah. Well, and this is where Shane Bowers comes in too.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the off season, Colin Wilson leaves, Matt Nieto leaves.
There are spots Jost, that can be filled.
Jost and Kout jump into your lineup, you know.
Yep.
And then if Kamenev stays, then okay, then he stays. If he leaves, then there's space for Shane Bowers right there, right?
Yep.
But the job that's on the line is Belmar's. And I think that they need to be using this camp and Bowers, Jost, those guys need to be using this camp to push for that job.
Especially with the reality of having no idea what training camp will look like before next season.
Right. If it starts the way that they're planning on it and it starts on November 17th, we don't know what the AHL season looks like. We don't know how realistic that thing's going to be. We don't know if it will have started or not. We don't know what that looks like. This needs to be a jumping off point for some of these guys to stick in the NHL. And for Jost, this is fighting for his life. It's easy to just slide him into next year's lineup, but
I don't know.
This guy is still trade bait.
Right.
When the offseason comes.
I don't know if I would say he's fighting for his life, but he's probably fighting for his future with this organization.
Yeah. He's fighting to prove he belongs in the NHL.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't go that far. I think if at the end of the year, then the Avs wanted to trade him for pennies, there are teams that absolutely would play him in the NHL next season, no matter what. But I do wonder if he struggles through all of this, what his role is on the Avs going forward.
Yeah, sorry.
You're good. You're good. You look focused over there.
Yeah, we're getting messages on multiple platforms about things.
News is coming in, AJ. Hockey's back.
Yeah, you're not kidding, dude. It's all happening at once. It's Jost is going to be a flashpoint, as always, for this camp, because this battle is really – Bob is really one of the only interesting things going on. Normally, we have four or five roster spots in play. Right now, it's one.
You got basically three dudes playing for one spot right now.
Yeah, and there's – I think the problem is that they've all looked good for the Avs at various points. And like, if we have the Matt Nieto, Tyson Jost specific conversation, which guy should be in, I think it should be Jost. The upside is just higher.
Yeah.
Nieto might be a little more consistent, but even their floors the same.
I mean, this is where, again, you're circling back around to the Belmar conversation.
Yeah.
Especially in the playoffs, Belmar's offensive upside is realistically pretty null.
Right. And unless they play Vegas, half of his points this year came against Vegas.
He should be the second line center against Vegas.
Right.
These decisions are not going to be easy, as my camera completely unfocuses on me. But
it's done it multiple times during the show. I don't know what it's trying to focus on behind you, but it's something.
Ghosts, man.
I have one in my room.
Confirmed.
It talks to me.
Oh boy, here we go. Is it Tyson Ghost?
No. But that's the fear, right? That they go into the postseason and they play that dude and it is Tyson Ghost. And that's what happens. They get the ghost and not Jost. And that's what you're worried about, because with Matt Nieto, you're like, the upside isn't as high, but he changed the Calgary series with that shorthanded goal in game two that kind of got them going, gave them life. I had another shorthanded goal in the series off that weird, like, Ian Cole 2-on-1.
Very, very strange. Ian Cole's second breakaway in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, very, very weird 60 seconds of hockey. But we also saw Tyson Jost was one of their best players at the end of the Sharks series.
Yep.
So you're weighing all of this. Both guys looked good in the second half of the year. Tyson Jost looked awesome post deadline. And that's the guy that you're like, look, you can't keep that him out of the lineup. And I'm sorry, but you have to take the chance that that's the guy you're getting. Matt Nieto at his best never plays that way.
And look, play the exhibition games in the play-in round, and if Tyson Jost is a ghost, then sit him.
And then there's no sitting here whining about decisions made.
Right.
If you put him in a lineup and you give him an opportunity and you say, all right, go out there. And if you get beast mode Tyson Jost, he'll easily beat out Matt Nieto. That's no knock on Nieto, but it's Tyson Jost at his best is just better than Matt Nieto at Nieto's best.
I mean, realistically, this is a fourth line, BK.
Yeah, that's this is one of the better fourth lines in the playoffs.
Exactly.
This is a fourth line that's going to play 10 minutes a night. This is not your Gabe Bork
type of line.
We're just trying to survive and white knuckle this thing for 6 minutes a game. This is a 10-minute fourth line that's going to get matchups. And especially if they're protecting a lead, they're going to get third period ice time.
Yep.
And that's another reason why I'm saying you want Tyson Jost out there. Whether or not it's for Belmar or for Nieto, you want that little extra offensive punch that he's going to give. And if he can handle the defense, then great. The only really big knock against him replacing Belmar, in my opinion, is the fact that he can't win a faceoff.
He has struggled this year in the dot,
it's very common for young players to struggle in the faceoff circle, and especially because he doesn't do it all the time, he's not getting the reps to get better.
Yep.
He's only getting partial reps where it's like, this is going to make progress really slow.
It's like if you're
leveling up a skill in an RPG, but you only put a point in it every four levels, it's going to take some time for that thing to get good.
Or you just are perfect so good analogy. At everything else that you ignore it and you're Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, well. Nathan McKinnon is the guy that rolls into a free to play and just buys everything.
Buys all the stats, and then that one stat that it's like, you can't buy this one, you have to grind it.
And that's all he does.
Yep.
15 hours a day.
Yep.
We can't all be Nathan McKinnon.
We got the video game reference in, so I think it's time to wind this one down.
That's right.
A little bit here. AJ, final thoughts on day one. Give me some hype for the future.
I mean, competitively, this is the best Avs team since probably 2004.
Yep.
These guys look awesome. This is such a deep hockey team. We're talking about Tyson Jost, Matt Nieto. Which guy do you scratch? Like, there are teams out there that are going to be icing actual bad players. Like, you look at like what Vancouver is going to have to do, since everybody wants to talk about Brock Besser and trade rumors. We'll have lots of time for that. Hopefully not as much as we normally would, because they're playing into October, but Brock Besser and all that, Vancouver's cap management, they're useless. They're so stupid. And, we can get into the Brock Besser thing another day, but I've been tempering all of this because I didn't want to get too hyped about stuff when the league may not come back, but this is the Stanley Cup favorite out West. And I know you have to go through the champs and the Blues, and that's fair. But right now, I have full faith that they would go through the champs. I just think that this is too competitive a team. This is too, the atmosphere around these guys, the belief that they have, the drive, how seriously they've already taken this. I want St. Louis. Give me St. Louis as soon as possible, because I think they would go through them in six.
AJ,
and if they get good goaltending, it might be four.
Bring on all comers, baby.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody at their best. There's nobody in the West that can handle Colorado. If all teams are firing on all cylinders, there ain't anybody out West that can handle the Avs. And there's only two teams out East that would make me nervous.
We're just gonna end it right then and there, because the Avs are coming and ain't nobody gonna stop them.
Yep. Use that as your podcast teaser for today.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do. Either way, I cannot wait for the Avs to start manscaping some fools out there.
Vancouver, St. Louis, then Vegas.
Easy. Sorry. Manscaped. All of those teams. And while you're watching, you can even manscape yourself, because they've made it that easy with the new Lawnmower Trimmer 3.0, which removes any chance of nicks or cuts or anything like that. So you don't even have to watch what you're doing down there to trim up what you got to do. Below the belt, above the belt, even if you smell bad, they got deodorant, they got breath mints, they got cologne, they got everything you need, from shave mats to everything to take care, anti-chafe, you name it. Manscaped, there are products they have that I don't even know exist. And this is a true story. I'm not a boxer briefs type of person.
Dude, those boxers they gave you?
My wife now uses them as workout shorts. And she says they are the most comfortable thing she's ever worn. So even if you're not on the man side of the manscaping, you can still get mad value out of these products. Head on over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping when you use DNVR20. Your balls will thank you. That is it for us. Hope y'all have a wonderful Monday. We'll have all your coverage of everything Avs training camp all week long, next week as well, all the way up through games actually returning. So keep on tuning in, and we will talk to you later.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.